2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. If you were to travel to Bridgeport, Connecticut, and go to the Mountain Grove Cemetery, you would find amongst all those tombstones a very unassuming tombstone. You wouldn't think that this person was great or famous. And it has a simple phrase on it. It says, "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. Now, the person buried in underneath that tombstone there in that cemetery was blinded at the age of 6 weeks. She had a cold, and in that day, they didn't quite know how to treat it. They put something on her eyes. She was blinded. But she went on to write thousands, literally thousands of hymns. Some of them, many of them, you've sung all throughout your life. Songs like, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," "Jesus is Tenderly Calling You Home," praise Him, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things." These are all hymns she wrote. Now, here is a lady who could have been bitter all of her life and said, "Look what God did to me. He made me blind. I'm just going to turn against Him. I'm not going to serve Him." But instead, she faithfully served God all of her life, lived, I think, to be about 94 years old, and even today is impacting the church. Of course, I'm speaking of Fanny Crosby. She hath done what she could. She was faithful. She used the gifts that God had given to her in His service. Now, folks, what we need today in the church are faithful people. People who simply say, "God has gifted me to serve Him." Now, it may not be a great gift. It may not be an outstanding gift. But you know what? If you're saved, every one of you has been gifted by God to serve Him. Let me just go a step further. If you are here this morning, now this is not going to sound very positive, but I'm sorry. If you're here this morning and you are not actively serving the Lord, I know you're out of God's will. I know it. God has given every one of us a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts and physical talents to serve Him. Now, just stop for a moment and say, "All right, what am I doing to serve the Lord? Am I being faithful with the gifts and talents God has given to me? What am I doing?" By the way, those gifts and talents vary. I see Buddy sitting back here, and this building has gone up out here because Buddy is using his gifts and his abilities. The mistakes are mine. The rest are his, okay? but what you see out there and the wiring, Bennett did all the wiring. You say, you mean doing electrical work is a gift? Well, hallelujah, if it doesn't burn down, it's a gift. If the lights work, and they all do. I'm not saying that you have to preach or teach or get up in front and sing. I'm not saying that. But God has gifted you. And what God wants us to do is to do all we can. Now, we need to remember, by the way, because some of you are saying, "Well, I can't do anything." Wait a minute. If God has gifted you, He's given you a gift, and He's going to call you to do something that fits the gift, and He's going to empower you to do it. Look, if God calls, and I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but if God calls you to do something, He's not going to say, "Well, Perkins, get out there and do it, buddy, and fall flat on your face. You're on your own, buddy. Hope you make it." No, God knows our gifts. He knows our spiritual talents. And He's going to call us to do something we can do. And then He's going to empower us to do it. Look, if God is saying to you right now, "I want you to do this," don't be saying, "Well, wait a minute, I can't." Now, she did all she could, but I can't do that. No, wait, if God's calling to you, he's going to empower you to do it. We need faithful people. Now, in 2 Kings, we're going to find two faithful men. Now, it's very interesting because they're kind of like our class. Some are toward the end. That sounds bad. Some are older. Okay. Sorry about that. I mean, are you encouraged in the Lord this morning? All right. Some of us are getting toward the upper spectrum of life and some are just in the bottom, right? I think I'm digging deeper and deeper here. All right. Look, it's not that bad. Don't leave, really. Seriously. Okay. Now, no matter where you are in life, no matter where you are, whether you are 10 or whether you're 110 or somewhere in the middle, God calls you to be faithful. To be faithful. I may never get to the lesson. I hope I do. But I was talking to the pastor the day. And he was talking about how much time we spend trying to get church members here. Now, I'm just being honest with you, okay? I said, you know, if they would all come, then we could just spend all of our time knocking on doors and visiting all the visitors. We just need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. Okay? Just need to be faithful. Just do what we're supposed to do. Do what God has called us to do. Just be faithful. Okay? All right. I'm going to get to the lesson now. All right. Aren't you glad? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, first of all, I want you to see Elijah's faithfulness. And I'm going to mess those names up several times during the lesson. Just a heads up, it's coming, okay? Elijah, his faithfulness. Now, Elijah had a wonderful ministry. Boy, he did, didn't he? I mean, he shows up on the scene. He said, Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. And not only rain, but no dew. And God sent him to the brook Cherith. And every day the ravens came in bringing the food. Can you imagine? And he had water from the brook. But there came a day when the brook dried up. God said, go to Zarephath. There's a widow there. And she's going to provide for you. And can you imagine when he showed up at that house and knocked on the door and said to that widow, hey, I'd like you to feed me. And she said, look, all I got is enough for one meal. She said, okay, feed me first. Typical preacher, right? Give me the last piece of chicken, you know? And what did she do? She said, yes, she did. And boy, God miraculously supplied and the oil and the meal every day. It just kept coming. And then he went to Mount Carmel and faced off with 400 prophets of Baal, took them down. God called fire down from heaven. Killed those 400 prophets. Boy, what a man. What a ministry. Ran before the chariot 20-some miles. But the next part of the story is the difficult part, because what happened to Elijah? It's amazing to me. 400 prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the groves couldn't take him down. Ahab couldn't take him. One wicked woman took him down. And woe is me. And remember, God came to him and spoke to him and said, Elijah, I've got three things I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to anoint two kings. And I want you to go find your successor, a guy by the name of Elisha. Now, there's not a whole lot about Elijah later on in that book. There's a few things that happened. We saw them a little while ago, but we come to this chapter and it's time for him to go to heaven. Now, if you're not careful when you read scripture here, you're going to think, well, that was just a few weeks. Actually, 10 years had passed since the day when he anointed Elisha. 10 years. And here is Elijah now, and God's going to take him to heaven, but I want to remind you about something. Here is Elijah now in his old age. He's about to go on to heaven. We've seen him minister a couple of times. In fact, we saw it last week. Remember, Ahaziah sent to find out if he was going to die or not. And Elijah cut off the messenger. Elijah called fire down from heaven on two groups of 50 soldiers, and God destroyed them. He went to Ahaziah, said, "You're going to die." Here's a man who had failed God. He really did. And he could have easily said, "You know what? My service is over. Can't serve God anymore." He could have got bitter against God because God replaced him with Elisha. "Wait a minute, Lord. I've been faithful to you all these years, and I get discouraged, and I ask you to kill me, and you just say, 'Forget it, buddy, you're done.'" I had a phone call yesterday of a man, a lady in our church wants me to visit. I've never met him, don't know much about him, but she told me. Here's the story. He went to a good college, Bible college, was a trained musician, was a music director in a good church. And when they found him, he had just been moving off the streets where he was living as a homeless man into one of the projects in John City. Not in church, far from God. And there's a lot of Christians just like that. They once served God. Something happened. Somebody said something. Somebody called them old, you know. Said they were at the end of their life. And they got bitter. And they quit. Now, Elijah failed, didn't he? He got despondent. He got his eyes on old Jezebel. But here he is, folks, 10 years later, and he's back faithfully serving the Lord. And he's going to go to heaven like nobody else did. We'll see that next week, Lord willing. And he served God faithfully. Faithfully. He kept at it. Not sure what's going on out there. Mr. Rush is going to straighten it out. Dun, 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 dun. Now, let me give you a couple verses in the Word of God. Because there are folks here that have faithfully served the Lord. And as you have aged, you've said, "You know what? My time of faithful service for God is over." Uh-uh. No. Now, you may not be able to do what you once did. But there's something you can do. There's always something you can do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how feeble you are. I don't care what's going on in your life. There's always a way, there's something you can do for the Lord. Now listen to Psalm 71:17. It says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed or bald, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." What a great verse. Here he says, look, I was young and I tell people about you, but now, Lord, I'm getting old, but Lord, I'm still here and I still want you to empower me to show your power and your glory to this generation. Lord, I want to keep going for you. I talked to my dad yesterday. My dad is 87. He'll be 88 in October. And has had 3 strokes that we know of, has some dementia. But I tell you one thing my dad taught me. Finish the job. And his prayer and his cry has always been, "God, help me to finish strong. To finish strong." And he is. He is. He's had some tough times. My mom passed away almost 4 years ago. Boy, what a tough time. After being married for 63 years, difficult time. But faithful, faithful, faithful to the end. Don't you want that? Turn to Psalm 92. Now hold your place in 2 Kings. We're coming back there here in a minute. But Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." By the way, that's the key. That's the key. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Get planted in God's presence. "Then shall they bring forth fruit." Notice the next three words. When? "In old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him." Folks, I just want to encourage you today. If you've lived for the Lord in the past and you feel like you can't anymore, I want to tell you, stay faithful. Be faithful. Keep at it. We need some senior saints at our church like Joshua and Caleb. I mean, Joshua and Caleb, folks, came to the end of their life. In Joshua 13:1, it says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art," I mean, God says this to him, "thou art old and stricken in years," you know, like he didn't know. "And there remaineth very much land to be possessed. And at the age of Caleb, 85, what did Caleb say? He said, Lord, give me this land. I want that mountain. Here is a guy, 85 years old, and he said, Lord, I want to keep going for you. I want to keep going. I want to be faithful. Paul, as he came to the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4:7, said what? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." He said, "Oh, Gary, my course ended 20 years ago." No, it didn't. It doesn't end until you're in heaven. I've kept the faith. Don't you want that to be said about you in your life? You get down to the end of your life and they say, boy, he finished the course. He kept the faith. Didn't quit on God. Didn't go into retirement on God. Well, that's what Elijah did. In spite of his failure, he finished. He was faithful. And not only in spite of his failure, but secondly, in training others. Now again, I've already mentioned, Elisha's been with him for 10 years. What's he been doing with Elisha? He's been training him. You're the next prophet in waiting, buddy. And he has been working with him. He's been training with him. But it's interesting, and we won't find it in this passage, but we're going to see in a moment, that he is taking a farewell tour. And he's traveling to two or three different cities. And in these cities, there are schools of the prophets. Okay? Now, these schools of the prophets are first mentioned in 1 Samuel 19. And Samuel had established these schools of prophets. Now, we think of prophets as just telling the future, but there are preachers too. And they would study the Pentateuch. They would study the Old Testament. They would study songs and music and things and how to minister. And so these schools, we've heard nothing about them since 1 Samuel 19. And Elijah has either reestablished these schools or restarted these schools. And he has been training young men in the ministry. He's been faithful doing that. So he's faithful in spite of the fact that he failed. He's faithful in training others. And boy, this is exactly what we ought to be doing. Let me ask you folks that are about to kick the bucket. Just kidding. You folks that have served the Lord faithfully, you've done the job. Are you like Elijah? What's he doing here at the end of his life, last few days of his life? He's going to go around and say farewell to all of the men that he has been training in the ministry. Thank you, Leroy. That was a blessing. Are you speaking for everyone or is that a personal testimony? Now look, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did, didn't he? The Apostle Paul said, I have a son. He wasn't really his son, but who was he? Timothy. And he trained Timothy, his son. And I'll be honest with you, probably led Timothy to the Lord, trained him. Timothy is now pastor. He's worked with him. Isn't that what God wants us to do today? Foster, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but God has convicted me about my ministry with Foster. We're out visiting Foster. I don't know, it's been 2 or 3 months ago now. And led him to Christ there on his sidewalk, outside of the apartment. And he said something to me that no one has ever said before. He said, "You are now my spiritual father." And we got to start getting together. Because I'm going to work this boy over. And my job didn't stop when he trusted Christ. Really, my job just started. And we're going to get together, Foster. We're going to go through this discipleship program. And we're going to start training. Now, I don't know if Foster's planning to stay here in the States, but, you know, who knows? God may call him back to Liberia. Boy, if he did, I'd sure like him to be trained when he goes back. Now, the plan is to bring his wife and kids over eventually, but you don't know what's going to happen. That's what our job is. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what he was doing. And Paul said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." There's the process. There's the process. It's often been said, the work of God is one generation away from extinction. One generation. Let me ask those of you with the gray hair today. Paul called it the hoary head. Okay, some of you that should have gray hair, but it's not because you've dyed it. Okay, some of you that are like me and it's fallen out. I understand all of that. Yeah. Okay. Look, let me ask you a question. On a serious note, who are you training? Who are you training? Who have you taken under your wing? Now, simple matter of fact is, we've got folks that are faithfully serving the Lord. And there's going to be a day when they can't anymore. Who's going to take their place? We are in grave need of a bus captain on bus number 6. Nobody to take it.
We need workers.
We need workers on the buses. Yeah. What a training time. And by the way, if you're a bus captain, you know what? You ought to start praying, "God, give me workers." And then you start looking for them. And you start finding them. And you start asking them, "Hey, would you come and ride my bus?" Now, if Leroy asks you, say no. All right. You know, you got Carowinds, you've got Six Flags, you've got riding Leroy's bus. It's all pretty much the same, you know. It's a hairy ride. It really is. It's exciting. But boy, there's a need. What are we doing? What are we doing to replace these folks? We've had bus workers been working 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Well, that can't continue. Who's going to take their place? Who are you training? And by the way, if you have children at home, let me ask you a question. What are you training your children about? Now, I love sports. I really do. I love to play ball. And we're pretty good about, we sacrifice and do all kinds of things to train our children to play ball. Let's be honest. We do. There's nothing wrong with that if it's in the right place. But is that all we're teaching them? What kind of values are you teaching your children? So excited. See, Tracy's here. So excited that Steve and her son is in Chile right now serving the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Something happened right in the home. Young man that said, "You know what, I'm gonna leave home. I'm gonna serve God." Praise the Lord. What are we teaching our children? Are we training them to serve God? Well, he was faithful, and I've got to move quickly. Not only was Elijah faithful to the end, but Elisha, we see his faithfulness. Now, flip back to 1 Kings chapter 19, and this is the call of Elisha. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. First Kings 19:19. "So he departed thence," that's Elijah, "and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th." So he's a very wealthy family here. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, it's interesting to me, he didn't have to tell Elisha what he was doing. When he took that prophetic mantle off of himself and put it on Elisha, he knew what he was talking, what was going on. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee." And he said to thee, "Go back again. What have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. This is called burning your bridges behind you. And gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And Elijah comes to Elisha and he said, "God is calling you to be my replacement, to do the job." And he followed him. But you know, it could have just been the excitement of the moment. We've seen people do that. Boy, some pastor comes in, a preacher, an evangelist, and he preaches a great message, or a missionary, and oh, the kids flock forward, and then they have a decision about where to go to college, and well, I don't think I want to go away. Well, what happened to the commitment? And you see, we could say, well, Elisha was caught up in the excitement. I mean, Elijah has come to you and said, "You're the man, you're taking my place." And he could have said, "Oh, okay, I'll burn it all. I'm going with this exciting stuff." Hey, 10 years later, what's he doing? Now, I'll be honest with you, that 10 years may have been a tough time. Remember, Elijah said, you're the man. You're going to take my place. And so what happened for 10 years? What did he do for 10 years? He was training. Doing a lot of miracles. Calling down fire from heaven. What was he probably doing? Now, the Bible doesn't say. I know this is conjecture. But actually, it does. Poured water on his hands. Wow, that's exciting. Okay, Elisha, you're the prophet. You're the man. Pour some water on my hands. Say what? Where's the miracles? Where's the glory? You're the man. I mean, for 10 years, he's not even mentioned. For 10 years, he's just really Elijah's servant. He's just really, for 10 years, he's just taking care of the man of God. And traveling with him. But where's the glory? Where's the excitement? So 10 years have passed, and what's he doing? He's still doing it. He's still learning. He's still being taught. But he's faithful. Now, I mentioned earlier that Elijah's on this farewell tour. And back in 2 Kings chapter 2, we find that it says Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee." This would be at Gilgal. He said, "For the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And I don't quite understand that either. Why did Elijah want him to stay? Now, I'm wondering if it was just a test. I really don't know. But maybe it was just a test. And he said, "Look, Elisha, I'm going to go on to Bethel. You just stay here." And what did Elisha say? Elisha, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Now, Bethel's where the school of the prophets. So it says in verse 3, "The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Lord shall take away thy master from thy head today?' And he said, 'Shut up, I know it, leave me alone.'" That's not according to this. He said, "Yeah, I know it, hold your peace," all right? See, in the vernacular, that's what he said. So he said, "Look, I'm not leaving you, buddy." And so in verse 4, Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." He said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" That sounds familiar. And he answered the same way, "Yeah, I know it, hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. What do you see about Elisha? He was just faithful. He'd been called to minister to Elijah, to be trained by Elijah. And Elijah said, I got to go. You stay here. He said, I'm not leaving you, buddy. And they go someplace else, and he said, you stay here, I got to go. He said, no, I'm not leaving you. He said, I got to go to the Jordan. He said, you stay here. He said, no, I'm not going to leave you. Now stop for a moment and think. Now you know the rest of the story. You know what's about to happen. But what if Elisha had said, you know what, you're right. I'm sick and tired of chasing you all over the country. I am staying here. See you later. What would have happened? What would he have missed? Yeah. But Elisha was faithful. By the way, did you notice as they're standing at the edge of the Jordan, there's two there, but who else was there, or at least at a distance? 50 sons of the prophet. See, I think they learned a lesson too about Elisha's faithfulness. Faithfulness. If God were to write a record of your life, would he include the word faithful? Now, you know, it's funny because I look around this classroom. I see some people who are faithful people. Steve, I hope you don't mind me using you as an illustration. I just saw Steve sitting here as a doctorate in biology, okay? Vice President Eastman, ran Eastman somewhere else. Okay, this is no dummy. You know what he's doing on Sunday nights? Teaching 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. So that the parents of young children can be in the service. Thank you. Is that his gift? Probably not. But he's doing it because there was a need, and he's faithful. He's faithful. Now, I could go around the room, and I see Tom Cole, a bus captain here. How old are you, Tom?
70.
And he's picking up those kids every Sunday, and he's visiting that bus ride every week. Faithful, faithful, faithful people. And you know what these men are doing? They're doing what they can. They're doing what they can. And I could go and talk about many other people, but those two just came to mind very quickly. God calls us to be faithful. In fact, you know what? In 1 Corinthians, it says, it's required of a steward that he be found successful, well-known, picture in the sword of the Lord, name on the billboard, greatest, faithful, faithful. You know the great thing about that? We all can't preach, we all can't sing, we all can't teach, we all can't do a lot of things. Starting right here in the front row, we can be faithful. So I encourage you, find what God wants you to do. Be faithful. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Okay? Lord, we do thank you for these illustrations today of these two men's lives of faithfulness. And oh, God, help us to be faithful. Lord, help me to be faithful. God, help me to finish well. God, I don't want to be out of the ministry. I don't want to be a castaway. I want to finish well. I want to finish the course. I want to keep the faith. And God, you know all of us here. You know our hearts. You know our abilities. And God, help us all to find what you want us to do and then be faithful. Be faithful, that we might serve you all the days of our life and stand before you and hear. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh God, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.